We are very, very happy to welcome, I'll tell you, a young man who is a tremendous preacher. He's co-pastor of the First Cathedral Church in Bloomfield, and I have the honor of attending that church. And it is the largest African-American church in New England, Dr. Michael Bailey.
And he's in our Touchpoints Rehab Chair this morning. Dr. Bailey, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm enjoying this, day that I'm snowed in. I have people coming to come plow me out, but it's taking them a little while. So I just have to sit and wait, and therefore I'm not with you in person, but I'm glad to be with you over the phone.
Well, I'll tell you, Dr. Bailey, Michael, the church has done so much. You have so many young people that you work with. And why is it when I go in to your church that there's so many young people, and I can go to some of the other churches in the area and they have problems getting people to come to their churches, let alone young people? What is the key?
Well, I think one thing is, I'm going to correct you. Brother Davis, it's our church. You're a member of the church, and we are glad to have you in our body. And you said earlier, the largest African-American church. We like to say that we're not a church primarily for African-Americans. We're a church for all people. I think that is the main nugget that has helped us so far. I mean, I still think we have many areas to grow in as far as getting more young people. I mean, right now we have a number of young people, but we're looking to do even more, much greater things. We're trying to get involved in many areas. As you know, I guess historically, obviously, I can't say that I was alive back in the 60s, knowingly I wasn't, but one of the things that, even if you look at the civil rights era, everything revolved around the faith, especially education and many other avenues to basically show people that faith and the secular should be merged together. One of the things that, you know, I look at in my private time is, how can I be a better Christian, not just a better citizen in America? And I think people have looked at how can they be better as far as culture and not their religious responsibility, if that makes sense.
You know, Dr. Bailey, I'm so glad you bring this up, because I just started reading a book about President Franklin Roosevelt last night. And after he had won the election, of course, the country at this point is in the throes of a depression, and everybody thought he had this program that was going to rescue the country. But his biggest program was to turn to God and look to God for faith and for help. And in fact, it's one of the reasons he incorporated a lot of religion in his famous inaugural address, Nothing to Fear But Fear Itself. And we were a country that melded God with country, weren't we?
Yes, yes, yes. I really think one of the pretty much the principles of this country was founded on the Christian perspective. Now, the issue has become, people have tainted it that they can have a la carte Christianity, which is totally terrible. You can't study half the book and love half the book. You have to love the whole book. I think we live, especially now, in a situation where I call it reckless freedom. People think freedom doesn't cost you anything, and it does. It costs you to be responsible and how you live and how you act and what you do and how you commit it. And I think there is a lack of that. I was really taken back the other day. I was watching, somebody sent me some clips of Angela Davis. You know Angela Davis.
Yep.
From the Black Panther Party.
Right.
and how, you know, her thinking has evolved, obviously, from being a baby boomer. So she's in a more seasoned generation. But one of the things that she pointed out is that, and she was looking at especially young people's agenda, which I thought about even in the Christian perspective. She said a lot of people are protesting even out of emotionalism. They're really not looking at it strategically. How can it really affect and benefit life? Thus, they do things recklessly, and as a result of being reckless, what will happen is more recklessness. And so there's just a big responsibility. And you talk about Franklin Roosevelt. Nobody's perfect either. Nobody is perfect. I mean, you look at the life even last week of, I call him a stalwart of the faith. I think he's a tremendous guy. Billy Graham. Billy Graham, you know, he passed last week.
Right.
And people were slamming Billy Graham. Billy Graham had a little issue with the civil rights movement. But Billy Graham, according to his faith, came back to his senses and he repented and he apologized for not, you know, getting more involved. You know what I mean?
Yep. Dr. Bailey, just hang in there, Dr. Bailey. We have a traffic update and then we'll be right back.
Dr. Michael Bailey, co-pastor of the First Cathedral in Bloomfield, our special guest this morning. Michael, I wanted to ask you a couple of things that perhaps our audience would like to know, too. You know, your family is just tremendous. I know you so well. When did this all start for Michael Bailey and your brother and your sister? Your sister is a minister in North Carolina. How did it all start? And one thing that I have noticed attending the First Cathedral is the closeness of your entire family.
Well, I think it all started, and I give credit to the Archbishop and my mom. I guess it started in 1946 when they both were born. And so being in Memphis, they're from originally Memphis, so having that Southern hospitality and growing up with the notion to make sure that families are tight. But also, I was thinking about this, ironically, 2 days ago. I was thinking about how we were taught about character. Not only do we have a responsibility to one another, but for instance, if one of us is wrong, we acknowledge the wrong. We don't go with the wrong. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because that's real love. And that plays in the family dynamic. That's pretty much a glimpse of it. As far as the ministry, I guess what the good book says, the good book tells us that before we even came into existence, God already had it planned. So that's how we got involved.
And you really are involved, and it's amazing. You know, sometime for the trees, you can't see too much. But when you go into the church, there's just something, it's hard to describe. And when you come out of the church on a Sunday, there's something that you can describe because you know how you feel because of what you've just experienced.
Well, I think the thing about it, Brad, we don't try to fake it to make it, man. We try to be authentic. Authenticity is what it is. You know, I was talking to a pastor yesterday. He took me out. So, you know, I had surgery last week.
Yes.
Last week was February 26th. I had surgery then. And, you know, pretty much I've been joking around saying I've been a prisoner in my own home and my wife won't let me out. And finally, my wife let me out yesterday. But this guy came and picked me up and took me to lunch. I can't go out very, very long because my body still has to heal. But we went to lunch and we were just talking about how we have to be authentic and we have to tell people the truth from the Word of God and not be afraid to challenge people by way of the Word of God, not beating on people, but challenging them and say, okay, this is how we feel. So let's identify this and let's look at how the Word of God challenges us, the Bible, as far as how do we live our lives. I was reading a book yesterday, and as I was reading it, I was really challenged because it's just like, it's really interesting that there is a deep ingrained temptation to kind of take, like I said earlier in my statements beginning this interview, a la carte Christianity, take what's good for me and leave the rest for somebody else. And we can't be like that. We have to believe all of the Bible. I know some of it seems very strange, but I was reading also in this book, this, and I love the way this author penned it. He said, you know, we are governed by faith, not logic. The reality is people have governed themselves so much by logic that it delineates their faith. And we cannot always go by, well, what we see is what we be. No, think about it, Brad. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Before you became this wonderful, bona fide radio man, what happened? You had to believe that it was going to come true. And look at the fruits of what you believed. It has come to fruition. I brag about you all the time. I call you the Hall of Fame sensation. I call you the man. I really do. Every time I see, you know, a couple of our friends that own a small business, I said, where's the man at? He's the man with the master plan. My generation would call it, you would call you the $1 million man. You're a good man.
Well, you embarrass me. But I'll be embarrassed by you less. That's fine.
And then we have Dan. We were talking about Dan. I said, Dan is now the man too. Dan's the man. And so it's such a benefit. But you had to first believe that you can achieve it. And that's even when it goes with faith. You have to have faith. You have to believe those things that may not be in existence right now and believe that they will come, if that's God's will for your life. And if that's not God's will, you understand that God is in control and he won't leave you hanging. I think a lot of people too, and I was thinking about my little surgery, and it's not a little surgery. Let me not say it's little. It wasn't little. But the surgery I just had, and I was thinking about these things are necessary for life. If you don't go through these things, if you don't go through a little struggle, a little tension, you won't be able to appreciate how the Lord blesses you. Think about it.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And I was thinking about that. I said, even not to be political and not to make anybody mad who's listening on the airwaves, but even if you look at the situations that's happening globally, I bet you if we had a laissez-faire type of political situation, we wouldn't care. But now, because everything is on the uprisal, there's a lot of heated debates. Now we're really becoming responsible. Now we're opening our eyes. Now we have to critically think. I think what's happening even now in that area, this is now resurging a group of critical thinkers, because I think there was a time where everybody was just so relaxed and so whatever, and it's like, no, it's time out for that. We have to be critically thinking about life. But let me go back to my statements earlier, because I told you that logic, you got to be careful of logic, and you want to intersect your faith, but you got to realize this. As being critical thinkers, you got to be critical thinkers from a faith perspective, understanding that God has these things in control, but understanding that before light comes and exposes the darkness, there needs to be some piece of darkness there for the light to expose.
Wow.
Well put.
Boy.
Wow. We are in the Easter season almost. Easter is 3 weeks away. What message can we gain from this time of year, Dr. Bailey?
Well, I think for me, you know, some people don't want to hear the cliche argument, but it's this. It's what I've learned as a child, and that's John 3:16, which I love so dearly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I was thinking about this the other day, especially with this Easter season. I was thinking about how the Lord, he was tempted according to the scriptures. In every way, he went through every measure of temptation But he didn't give in because he realized that he has a mission to fulfill. And I thought about the human life, how we are tempted in every way and how sometimes we fail. But the good news is we have an example that we can get up and look at the mercies of God and be able to take this brand new opportunity and live again and be better. Wow. And I was thinking about it from this even point of view. I love how, according to what I believe about Jesus, Jesus had this unselfish love for his people. And it made me think about, like, wow, we have to stop being selfish and follow that example. And that way we can really celebrate when we get to Easter, especially in our tradition, well, my tradition, when we talk about Jesus rising up from the grave. Jesus rose to save the world.
That's right.
Well,
wow.
Tremendous.
Dr. Bailey, you have inspired us this morning.
Yep, absolutely.
In so many ways. And by the way, we hope you have a speedy recovery. God bless. And I know we're going to talk again down the road, but thanks so much for joining us this morning.
And
hey,
again,
listen, I look forward to coming to see you guys live. I'm just so sorry. I was going to have somebody drive me down today. I just couldn't get out of my yard. So I look forward to getting there and being in person and being able to see your wonderful faces.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Bailey. And Michael, I can call you Michael, I know. And again, it is quite a privilege. Yeah. And I know people that attend the first cathedral and how they feel and what it has done for them. I know some personally. And again, this is something I think that is missing, as you stated, in our country today, and the reason that Dan and I wanted to start a feature from time to time, just to bring us back to where we started, and hopefully that we can return.
Well, the two, you know, it's just important, like you said earlier, and I'm sorry I'm taking so much time, but I was thinking about this, you know, we need to get active in our churches, active and not complaining. We welcome, and I'm talking about our ministry, we welcome anyone. Come visit us. We have service at 9:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. We even have our classes 8:30. And I'm telling you, it'll be a good time if you feel like, oh, I need to come and challenge them. Because I know you have listeners. I listen to you, Brad and Dan, who come in and, oh, I got to challenge them. Well, come and challenge us.
Sure, great invitation.
I got an invitation for you. Come, show up. You know you can find me. I'm not that tall. I'm bald-headed with a beard. You'll find me. I hope you're not saying, oh, he's ugly. No. Come. And we have a dynamite Bible study Tuesday night at 6:30 for an hour. You come if you feel like I need to challenge you. Come on. And we have actually, Brad, too, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, we do a play every year, man, called Risen King.
Dr. Bailey, we're running out of time, but we're going to get you back to talk about that play.
Yes, sir.
Terrific. God bless.
All right. Thank you so much. Y'all have a beautiful day.
You too. Take care.
All right.